Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim Garrity is on vacation. Daniel Foster of National Review Online here in his place. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Dan, there's a lot of focus, of course, on the presidential election. Mitt Romney surviving a pretty contentious primary season pretty well. He's either even with or ahead of President Obama in the national polls. He's gained ground in some of the state polls. But there's more to it than that. In fact, your colleague Kevin Williamson would argue that the congressional elections are even more important than the presidential election. And so a lot of eyes are on the Senate, since Republicans, which made great gains in 2010, look to gain the majority now in 2012. States like Nebraska and North Dakota are almost seen as they have to be guaranteed pickups if the majority is going to happen. Other states out there include Ohio, potentially, maybe Florida. One that's been under the radar a lot, despite the fact that the state has certainly not been under the radar, is Wisconsin. Herb Kohl is retiring after four terms, and right now it looks like Republicans have a very good shot at picking up this seat. The Democrats have essentially cleared the path for very liberal Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin. She represents the Madison area. If you follow the recall at all, you know that's the heart and soul of the hard left in Wisconsin. Former Governor Tommy Thompson's running. Former Congressman Mark Newman is running. We'll see who wins that nomination. But it looks like either way, the Republicans are in a very good position to grab Wisconsin. And once again, a state that used to be very blue, it could be a real big help for us this year.
Yeah, what I think this is indicative of and what's encouraging about it is the Tea Party influence in the Republican Party kind of finding its level and kind of moderating a little bit and trying to creep a little closer to the Buckley rule of nominating the most conservative electable candidate. Right. In 2010, we saw a kind of missed opportunity to pick up the Senate. I really do believe we could have picked up the Senate. We nominated a few people. I'm not going to name any states. Delaware, who not only weren't the best candidate, but were overreaching collectively as conservatives in looking at who we could get elected. I think 2012 has been much more encouraging on that front, particularly in the Senate. And you're seeing in states where you could get away with a more conservative candidate, particularly Indiana, with Lugar getting ousted there, and Texas, if David Dewhurst manages to win in Texas. We all hope that Ted Cruz wins in Texas, but if Ted Cruz manages to win there, it'll certainly be a swap for a much more conservative, less kind of establishment country club Republican candidate. But they're both very, very winnable. And I think whatever happens in Wisconsin, whether it's Thompson, who's, again, more of an establishment guy, though not a bad guy by any stretch of the imagination, or Newman, you're going to see a competitive race there, which I think is the really good news and very encouraging.
Yeah, I think that should be the case. And if the presidential race is tight as we think it might be, there's going to be very little, if no, coattails for Obama. Even if he ekes out Wisconsin, it's not likely that he'll drag Tammy Baldwin across the finish line either. And hopefully he won't win there either. So we'll find out. But we'll get to President Obama in the third martini. He's got more important things than worrying about Wisconsin going on. Number two on the list today, the bad martini. This seems to be a pretty repetitive bad martini too in recent weeks. And that's lousy election results overseas over the weekend. The French have decided they love socialism once again. Not really sure they ever stopped, even though they elected Sarkozy a few years ago. But not only did they make François Hollande the new president over there, but now they've got a fully socialist parliamentary majority to go with him. So we can count on them for virtually nothing of good coming forward here. And that's not a good thing, given all the issues, both economic and diplomatic going on. We saw Greece over the weekend, better than what could have happened. But now we're just going to kind of go through this song and dance over the Eurozone again and what they will and won't do for austerity. And, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood looks like they're running away with things in Egypt, where things are unsteady, to say the least. So, Dan, it could have been worse if you look at Greece, but things are certainly not looking good.
Yeah, with the Greek example, what we're seeing is the Greek people really trying to figure out how they can vote themselves Germany's money most effectively. And they overshot it last time, so they backed off a little now. I don't think that's any problem has been permanently solved. I think the conventional wisdom there is that it forestalled the collapse of the Eurozone sometime this week. That's the thing that it accomplished. So, I mean, I don't think we know the fate of the Eurozone any better now. The Frenchies are going to French, if you'll forgive the turn of phrase. I mean, it's not that surprising that they would fall back into this position there. as far as Egypt, you know, it's was it Kissinger who said it's a shame one side has to win? you know, it's a shame they couldn't both lose. I mean, I was not a fan of Mubarak, but I think, you know, the last 10 years of misadventures in the Middle East have made even the most hawkish conservatives a little more wary about the prospects of democracy, equality, and fraternity in that particular region. So I guess I'm rooting for the thing that was closest to the status quo, because it looks like all the things that are farthest from the status quo are taking it in the wrong direction, a la the Muslim Brotherhood. So I don't really know if there's a horse in that race that we should be that excited about. And maybe a power struggle there is probably the best news for American interests in the short and medium term.
Well, it could be. Either way, it's probably bad news for Israel, at least compared to what they had for about 30 years there. So we'll see how that works out. There's, of course, other issues in the region, Syria, Iran, all sorts of other things. They just didn't happen to have votes over the weekend. But let's just hope our elections go a little bit better than what we've been seeing across the Atlantic in the last few weeks.
A very low bar, yes.
Yeah, it wouldn't take much, but we definitely needed to make some changes here as well. So the president, of course, I'm sure, Dan, over the weekend, keeping a very close eye on all these international developments. But if he did, he was doing it from his golf cart, because the president hit a major milestone this weekend. No, it wasn't a fundraising milestone. No, it wasn't a administration rule substituting as a congressional resolution milestone, although I'm pretty sure he's got the record for that too. But no, he hit his 100th round of golf as president. So, you know, in 3.5 years, that's a pretty good clip. I don't think George Bush Sr. ever got to that point. I'm not even sure Jerry Ford did. Eisenhower, I'm sure, did. But this is pretty rare air for a guy who's got a lot of bad things going on right now.
One of my favorite moments, I've probably said this before on Three Martini Lunch at some point, but one of my favorite moments of the post 9/11, those dark days right after 9/11, one of the lighthearted moments was President Bush confidently telling a bunch of reporters that we were going to smoke out Al-Qaeda wherever we found them. Now watch this drive. So, you know, so, I mean, I think that you can be an effective president and play a lot of golf, although Obama's played way more golf than Bush did. But I think what worries me about Obama's playing golf is that nothing is going particularly swimmingly in the country. You're worried about the competence first, and the 100 rounds of golf are just a symptom of the disease, which is that you're not sure anybody's really at the wheel, even when Obama's, you know, up to his nose in paperwork in the Oval Office. And as David Axelrod said, you know, the gift of the internet, you know, showed us this clip of David Axelrod saying in 1994 that it's not smart to, you know, be talking about a poor economy from the ninth green. And he's absolutely right. It's very bad optics for the president, which makes me say to him, enjoy, sir. I hope you, you know, play 36 today.
Yeah, exactly right. I guess the only difference is that Obama won't let the cameras on the course to capture that moment. But yeah, other than fundraisers and golf and getting in a fight with a guy from the Daily Caller, I'm not sure the president actually did anything last week, which some level may be good. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see. I guess him doing nothing's better than him doing a lot of the stuff he's done lately. So
I'll buy him a beer at the 19th hole.
There you go. A beer summit between the president and Dan Foster. Dan, have a great day. Thanks for filling in. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Daniel Foster of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.